Today on Real Radio.
That's how we get from here to heaven. It begins with the Holy Spirit stirring us up, or perhaps stirring you up tonight that you need more in your life, but you're not sure what more means.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, when someone claims that he or she has no fear of death, well, that person simply isn't telling the truth. The fact is, we all fear that inevitable day. Of course, if we trust in the person and the work of the Son of God, we don't have to fear death at all. And you know, unbelievers, truthfully, somehow they know deep down inside that there is an afterlife. And if they're honest, they got to admit that they will face their Maker and give an account. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now focusing on these issues as he continues in his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
We are looking predominantly by way of introduction, laying a foundation regarding this issue of who we are, our hearts, our minds, our bodies being presented to God as believers. In these days, I firmly believe, and I think you do too, that if the church, if we decided to follow Jesus as he wants us to, as he has invited us to, I think that the Lord would do an amazing thing so that we would become so attractive as believers. And I don't even want to think what that might mean. I want Jesus to assign the meaning to that. To become so attractive as believers to the world that the world says, "What in the world is going on in your life? What in the world is happening with you? I want to know you and your God." I believe God wants to do that. I believe the first century church was so attractive to those who you would think would have no business wanting the gospel, but in reality they were gravitated toward the gospel, like those who are of Caesar's house, for example, in the book of Acts. Those who were the closest into the Roman Empire, those who were atheists, those who were involved with other gods of other bizarre Babylonian cultures and all that, they wanted to know about Jesus. The church made a radical impact, and I believe that the time is now, as we look around this world, it's time for the church to stand up and be dramatically filled with the Spirit and to really make a difference. But that's going to mean that there's a sense of holiness in our lives. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you," or urge you, "I challenge you, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy," there's that word, "set apart, designated, devoted, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." That's an act of worship, by the way. Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." And then we also touched on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14 is a very powerful verse. Causes you to pause and think and to evaluate your own personal life. When in Hebrews 12, 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, for without which no one will see the Lord." And that's why we're laying this foundation about how we get from here to heaven in this series. We looked, first of all, at understanding us as human beings. Remember that? We looked at that, and there's three things that we considered in this particular message, and that was the complexity of who we are, that God has made us body, soul, and spirit. And when Paul the Apostle says to present ourselves as living sacrifices, he's talking about us coming before God because of the complexity of who we are. People created in the image of God we are, and that we are to come to him and present ourselves as the total man. God, I'm bringing my thoughts to you, and so I'm asking you to control my thoughts. I'm asking you to cleanse my thoughts. Lord, I bring my motives to you about why I'm living my life. And I want that to be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, I'm bringing my body to you, that my very physical body is something that is devoted to the work of God. As a Christian, these are non-negotiables. We are to come and say, "Lord, here I am. The complexity of who we are. And then we looked at the purpose of our existence, that you and I will never be complete, we will never be fulfilled as human beings in this life. And we looked at the pursuits of the things of this world that somehow promise fulfillment, but in reality only wind up bringing greater frustration. The purpose of our existence is to bring glory to God. We're never happier than when we're doing that. We're never more happy than when we're serving God, even sometimes to the point of exhaustion. We're serving God. Oh my goodness, we were looking at an old DVD today of one of our outreaches in Russia in 1992 or 93, you guys. You should have seen my hairdo. You should have seen how the clothes we wore back in 93. I didn't realize 93 was that far ago. We look like lunatics. But you know what? Man, all these great... We had to show it to you sometime. You'll laugh your heads off, but you'll cry too. Because we're on the streets of Russia sharing Jesus all day long. We're exhausted, but you can't stop us. And there's a bunch of people. We're sharing Christ. There's great crowds gathered around. We're on soapboxes or milk crates preaching the gospel. And hundreds of people are gathered around. And I was watching that today. And it was so beautiful because you know what? We had to force ourselves to go to sleep. When we got up in the morning, we jumped out of bed because we were energized. Our bodies were perishing, but the inward man was being renewed day by day. It was incredible. It was awesome. And never, never are you more happy than living like that for God. Because my friend, no matter who you might be today and what you believe, let me tell you something about who you are that you may not know about yourself. And that is that you will never be complete nor happy until you find out the purpose for your existence. And it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's all about Him. And when you get lost in Him is when you get found. It's incredible. And then we looked at the meaning of what matters. That sometime in life, we are going to end our course. We are going to finish our course in life. God has given each of us a time to live. Esther had a time to live and a purpose and a meaning and a complexity. And Esther, in her moment of history, her uncle reminded her, "You have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this." And I believe that for a Christian. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you again. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. I ask you this all the time. Look how beautiful that is. You have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. You're not an accident. Every day of your life, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me to my work. Send me to my job. Send me to my family. Send me to the community. Send me." When you leave this place tonight, you're going to go home and you're going to go to bed. You're going to get up tomorrow and you ought to pray, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit." And before your feet hit the ground, you ought to say, "Lord, send me." And watch what He does. And then secondly, and this is where we left off last time. Secondly, how do we get from here to heaven? Well, we're going to become aware of an awakening of the greatest needs in life. An awakening begins to take place, begins to stir us up about eternal things. And we looked at this, that there is something missing in life. There's something missing in life until you come to Christ. And there's an awakening that takes place. Now, look, this is a midweek service, and you're probably here right now because you are searching for God. I mean, what kind of a person will go to church on the middle of the week? When people say, "You have midweek services?" I've had pastors ask me, "You guys have a midweek service?" Man, that's weird to me, but anyway. So you're probably pretty serious for being here. But the truth of the matter is, which is amazing, is on Sunday, there's thousands of people that stream in and out of this place. Some of them are maybe searching. Some of them have maybe been dragged here by family. Some of them have been bribed with a breakfast after church of, you know, whatever reasons they come. We don't know. But the truth of the matter is there's a real sign of life when even a, quote, non-believer begins to wake up to the fact that something is missing in their life. That's how we get from here to heaven. It begins with the Holy Spirit stirring us up, or perhaps stirring you up tonight, that you need more in your life, but you're not sure what more means. And then this is where we pick up our study now. It is this. Awakening to the greatest of needs, secondly, is this, that there seems to be no answer. There are those that God begins to work in their life. He stirs them up about something's missing. I need more meaning in my life. I need more purpose in my life. And this next thing begins to take place. Wherever they might go, there is no answer. There is no answer to life. Maybe they try this, maybe they try the other. But the thing is this. They're not getting the answer down deep inside regarding their life. and they begin to reach out. The book of Acts says that they begin to grope for God. And what answers does this world have for life if you think about it? This world only has a paper mache offer to grab all the gusto that you can before it's over. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And yet that's not why God created you. But the world cannot, I believe, give us the right answers. I believe that the whole program is that way. God did not build this world to give us the answers. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. And when we say that as Christians, you say, what do you mean Jesus is the answer? Gives me no greater delight than to tell someone who maybe they come forward here in the service. And boy, I tell you, were you at the baptism on Sunday? If you missed it, you missed it. But I got to tell you something. I think there was I heard 551 people got baptized. Listen, you know what was, my heart jumped, and I don't know if she's here tonight, but there was a girl who I remember just recently attending church here, she would sit somewhere right over here, I can kind of look, she's not sitting here right now, she would be sitting here, and she wound up coming forward, we prayed together, she accepted the Lord, she came back every week for the last several weeks, had questions, and then in the midst of all the people, which is very cool, pastors are out there baptizing everyone, it's just super great. She comes out into the water this last Sunday to be baptized with a smile that was almost busting her face. I mean, her mouth couldn't have gotten any bigger with a smile. And I saw her coming, and I went, what? And she goes, isn't this great? And when I put her underwater, I was honestly concerned when I put her under if she was going to close her mouth. I mean it. And she came up and smile, glowing. A life changed. Why? Because God began to give her the answers when she began to read her Bible. We gave her a Bible the first day she accepted the Lord. The second week she came back, she didn't have her Bible. I said, where's your Bible? I don't know. Get another Bible. Read it. I always ask, where's your Bible? Listen, read your Bible. God gives you the answers. You have been created by God to receive answers for life from the Bible. It's programmed that way. Pastor Jack, are you saying it's rigged? It's rigged! The Bible is the answer. Life situations are not too big for the Bible. There's no sin too great that His blood cannot cover. There is no question in your life that the Bible cannot answer. You just need to come to Him. By the way, let me say this. I believe it's incumbent upon every ministry that names the name of Jesus to do everything within their power to get the answers to the people. Didn't Peter say that we need to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us? A reason for the hope that's within us with gentleness and with respect? We're commanded as Christians. We ought to be able to walk onto the college campus and give the answers. They may not like the answers. Let me tell you up front right now, they're not going to like the answer. But somebody in the crowd's going to say, you know what? That's funny. That's the answer. You guys, this is so fun what we're doing as Christians. Did you know that we cast out the truth? We cast it like a sower casting seed. We throw out the truth, okay? 99 people may walk by it and trample it, right? That's not our business. What's our business? To cast out the truth of God, right? We cast the seed. And one guy comes along and says, I got it. What is that? Did you know that was a miraculous moment? What is happening is the Holy Spirit, who's promised to take the word of God. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We have nothing to do with that. We just throw out the word, which is the guarantee that they're going to hear. Not bingo Thursday nights. I mean, think about it. If we had 12 steps to a happy financial portfolio on Sunday mornings, you know what? I don't know. That's insane. Now, you can have that on Tuesday night at some class back over there in that corner of the building someplace. That's something else. But don't ever put that in front of the gospel. Why? Because when the gospel goes out, it latches on to a heart that God has been working in their life. And it's a divine moment. I mean, if we could see it spiritually, we'd probably just have a great party with all the angels freaking out that, look what's going on. But when somebody hears the truth, it's like, wow, that's truth. It's It's beyond human ability. We get to watch it happen. If there was ever a middleman, that's us. We just give it out. And we need to give it out. It's interesting to me that when someone's life is in that balance or in that place of great difficulty, people want the truth. People need answers, and we can't. If we cannot give them answers, you guys, if you cannot answer your children, you and your children ask you questions, you better answer them. Listen, parents, answer your kids' questions. You got to. So what if I don't know the answer? Make something up. No, but answer them. Answer your kids. Answer them. Answer people. Because not getting an answer is a tremendous thing. You can't say, well, because... That's not an answer. Kids know that, by the way. Daddy, how come? Because it's not an answer. Our godless secular world that we live in, you guys, we need to give our kids answers. Because you know what? Let me tell you something right now. By the way, I love every Christian school teacher. God bless them. The Christian school teachers in the public system, they need our hand and they need our support. But let me tell you something right now about this thing about the world, a non-Christian, not getting an answer because God's engineered it that way so that the church, the Christian, will give an answer. If you and I are not teaching our children and giving them the answer, a biblical-based answer to history, to science, to everything, to the nations, to human nature, let me tell you something right now. The school will give them an answer. It is their agenda to give them the answer. And you got to remember something. In our secular schools today, we hand our kids over to a system that is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus. I just saw on the news, like you did tonight on CNN, a school teacher's being sued because she used a Christian song in the class, in the dance class, a Christian song. She's being sued and her job's on the line. I saw that in the news and I thought, why? Because there wasn't enough cussing in the song? Because there wasn't enough sex in the song? Why is she being sued? Because it was a Christian song. But you can say everything about this, that, and do this and the other, and have whoever the rapper songs are to dance to in school, and it's A-okay. Our kids are in a godless system, church. And mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, if you have jurisdiction over those children, you need to teach them what's true and what's right and give them the answers. Your kids know intuitively early on that when the teacher says we all evolved from monkeys, I'm telling you right now, little Junior knows that's wrong. But if they hear it long enough and loud enough, then they'll think that I'm just nothing but a son of a monkey. I'm just a daughter of a monkey. Think about it. And then we expect our kids to be moral. What a crack up. Grow up and act civilized. You're a monkey. Think about it. Mom and dad, give them the answer. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. In our culture today, it's inappropriate to tell a seventh grade class that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Can't say that anymore. At least they tell us that. It is legal, but they tell you that it's not. It's inappropriate to tell a 12th grade class these days, in Exodus 20, 13, you shall not murder. Can you believe that? The ACLU doesn't want a 12th grade class to read, thou shalt not murder. That's insane to me. It's amazing to me. But maybe tonight, I don't know, maybe you're here tonight and God is beginning to stir your heart and he has been. Maybe he's been working on you for a while. That the things of God make sense. Also, under this point, awakening to the greatest of needs is this, that there is a desperate hope. There's a desperate hope that lies within every human being. How do we get from here to heaven? Isn't it amazing that sociologists tell us that in cultures all around the world, cultures that have yet to been reached with the gospel of Jesus that are being studied, that there is a belief system in those ancient, ignorant, removed cultures that have not yet heard the word of God. They have some sort of a spirituality that embraces some sort of a world on the other side. Did you know that? How do you explain that? A culture that's never been touched by the outside world. Even a culture where the gospel has never been given. That this culture that's been contained for hundreds, if not thousands of years, has a belief system that there's a world outside the world that they're in, and it's a world that is in the spirit. How do you explain the beliefs of the American Indians that occupied this great continent before the gospel ever got here? They believed in the great spirit and that there was a world that you transitioned to. Why? Because down deep inside in the human heart, there's a desperate hope. Hope against danger, hope against evil, hope against life and its disasters. It's in the human heart. I believe that's true because it's left over from the Garden of Eden. There's a cry inside. Now, this may sound kind of silly to you, but it's kind of the way I think. Let's imagine for a moment, collectively, that all of us believe that there's a heaven. I'm just speaking for everybody. Maybe there's a non-believer in here. Just play with me for a second. Let's pretend there's a heaven. Wouldn't you want to go there? Let's just pretend. We're just pretending. You don't have to get upset. Let's just pretend it's real. Wouldn't you want to go? What kind of a person would say, okay, I'll play your game. I'll pretend it's real. I ain't going. No, I'm serious. Think. If there were a heaven, why wouldn't you want to go? Why would you refuse that for yourself? I want you to think that through in your mind if that's an issue with you. Isn't it amazing that when you read the Bible, you find out that you and I worship a God who wants you and I in heaven more than what you and I want to be there? He wants you there very badly, so much that his son died on the cross to get you there. But if you don't want him, then you don't get to go. Because why would you want to be in heaven? Man, I can't believe it. Here I am. What am I doing here? It's paradise, 74 degrees, perfect, angels all around, all the food you can eat, beautiful, wonderful. I don't want to be here. What's wrong with you? No one is going to be in heaven that didn't want to be there. The Bible says, choose you today whom you'll serve. But can you admit down deep inside, even in your atheism, that there's a hope? Oh, maybe it's true. I always find it funny. Again, my mind doesn't work normal. But a person who would say, I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God, would then go to Vegas and put money into a machine and pull the handle. Why are you doing that? Because I'm hoping that I win something. Are you with me? I'm hoping I win something. Well, why don't you take that hope and take that same action? You drove all the way to Vegas. You put a coin in a machine with hopes of getting something meaningful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? In fact, that's the title of this topical series we're bringing your way here on Real Radio. How do we get from here to heaven? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. So you say you'd like to see Pastor Jack live at church sometime. Well, we've got the next best thing for you. We'd like to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study. It airs Wednesday nights on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. We hope you'll watch. By the way, Monday nights at 7, Real Life with Jack Hibbs really is a fascinating program. We think you're going to like it. At times, you'll see Pastor Jack giving a study. Other times, you'll see him interview a special guest, maybe an author or a scholar, even elected officials and retired military. Maybe you caught last Monday's show, but if you didn't, well, it's real easy. Just go to hischannel.com and click Video on Demand. In fact, we've got a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.